book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 24, and verses 14 and 15. Joshua chapter number 24, verses 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. And for just a few minutes, I want to talk about a godly man and a godly father. Amen. To all of the fathers, happy Father's Day. On today, we celebrate with fathers, for we realize that you are a representative of the Most High God here in the earth realm. And you are to be honored. And so we honor and celebrate you on today. Now, in looking at the text, Joshua was both a godly man and he was a godly father. His relationship with God made him a godly man. And let me just drop this on you. It is out of your relationship with him that causes you to be a godly man.
That's right.
Amen. If you have no relationship with him, I don't care how good you act,
that's right,
you are still not a godly man.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. But the God of the universe had attested of Joshua's relationship with him.
That's right.
And it was done when the Lord said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I will not forsake thee. This was evidence when Israel, as they were being led by Joshua, was locked in battle with the Amorites, Joshua was able to part the sun over Gibeon. And he parked the moon in the valley of Ajalon. Now, somebody who is not a Bible reader is saying, what's he talking about? Let me help you. The Bible says that Joshua and Israel were locked in a battle with their enemies, the Amorites.
That's right.
And the daylight time was running out on them.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua was able to speak to the sun.
That's right.
And the sun stood still. And the moon would not come up until the Israelites had defeated their enemies.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. When you're close enough to God that he'll turn over the works of the sun to your hands, I would think you're a godly man.
That's right. That's
amen.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. God is like that though. Have I got a witness?
Yeah.
Joshua was a godly man.
Yes.
However, I must tell you, there are some godly men who were not and are not godly fathers. Let me first tell you that God is the personification of father. God is the consummate father. You want to know what a father looks like? Look at God. Amen. But listen to what God says about his fatherhood, because some of us have never really looked on God as a father in the earth since. But in Exodus 4 and 22, God speaks and says to Moses to tell Pharaoh, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Hallelujah. We need only look at how our Heavenly Father interacts with His Son to glean godly parenting skills and duties of and toward one's children. You want to know how to treat your children? Look at how God treats His children.
That's right.
Amen. In the church bulletin, and I pulled it out, in the church bulletin, we have listed 12 duties. However, I must tell you, this is not an exhaustive list, but it is a good place to start.
All right.
Amen. But I want you to know that David was a godly man. But he was not a godly father.
That's right.
A godly man, but not a godly father.
That's right.
The Bible says of King David, he was a man after God's
own
heart.
Yes.
Or that is to say that he had a heart for God.
That's right.
Yet I want you to hear the word of God concerning David's parenting skills. And this is interesting. You might want to look that up sometime. In 1 Kings chapter number 1 and verse 6, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, talking about Adonijah, his son. Now his father, King David, had never disciplined him at any time, even to the point of asking him, "What you're doing?" Now, there is no way a father cannot exert discipline on your children. Now, it is interesting because both Adonijah and Absalom were absolutely handsome men. They were devastatingly handsome. And sometimes that becomes a problem. Our children are too cute for us to discipline. Well, let me just drop this on you. No child is so cute that you should not discipline them. Amen. They need to be raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Amen. But if you look at David's life and his life and what happened in his home life, you can understand this lack of discipline. He had a son named Ammon, and Ammon raped his daughter Tamar. Both Absalom and Adonijah attempted to wrest the kingdom away from their father, King David. Absalom had Ammon killed. When you have a family and the father does not exert leadership in that family, anything can happen.
That's right.
And one of the sad things is that we just feed children and they get bigger.
That's right.
And we're not disciplining them. We're not teaching them the things of God in terms of being a father. A father ought to love his children.
That's right.
Well, truth of the matter is, David loved both Absalom and Adonijah.
That's right.
He loved them too much to discipline them. Amen. There has to be some balance there. Amen. The Bible says, and I know we've got young people in the room today, but the Bible says, you beat them, they will not die. Now I realize that we're not going to beat up on them, but the Bible is saying that if you withhold the rod, you will spoil the child. Amen. And now you recognize that when a child gets to be 14, 15, you miss the time to use the rod. You've got to start disciplining your children early. If you want them to be what God would have them to be. But our problem is, as I said, we feed them and they get bigger and then they are shaped by the culture. Amen. It amazed me, the very small children, that they've got an iPad, they've got all these, just working it. You ask them, can you say the 23rd Psalm? They can Google it for you, but they can't say it. Amen. They don't know those things that are character building. But if they don't get that from their father, Let the father show to them the kinds of things that a child ought to be. Amen. Amen. If a father will not discipline, command, and instruct, and guide, and warn, and rebuke their children, there will be trouble in the family. But when the father stands in the position that Joshua did and said, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, the emphasis there is on we will. Amen. It is not optional. And again, in our society today, the father says to the mother, baby, take the children to church. And oh, by the way, here's some change for them to put in church. Now he'll take them to Constellation Field, but he won't take them to church. When he takes them to Constellation Field, he gives them dollar bills. But when they come to church, he gives them change. What's wrong with that picture? Amen. We're teaching them to steal from the Lord. Amen. When you understand that as you in a leadership position show what you expect from them, they can then know how to serve the God of the universe. Oh, bless his holy name. Amen. When we look at the godly father that is exemplified by Joshua, we notice, number one, if you look at verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord. Amen. A godly father has reverential fear. Amen. He fears the Lord. That does not mean he's scared. It means he has respect for who God is. He knows who God is, and he wants a relationship with him. And he knows that if life is to be meaningful, he must have a relationship with the God of the universe. Listen to what Joshua says. Now therefore, fear the Lord. And that's number one, fear the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Hallelujah. Joshua 1 and 7 or 8. And then in Joshua 9 and 10, he says again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you are to exert wisdom in this earth realm, it requires having fear of the Lord, that you know who God is. And when you know who he is, you want to walk in his statutes. You want to be what he wants you to be. Amen. And then you'll notice in verse 14, he continues when he says that, and that's really my number two point, we have to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Amen. You ought to be real about your worship of the Lord. Amen. Amen. John, writing in John 4, verse 24, says basically the same thing in New Testament language. He says, God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we understand that God is a spirit, amen, we're not shaped by the culture of this world, but rather we know that we are part of something bigger than what we have in the earth realm. We know that we serve a God who rules and super rules both heaven and earth. We serve a God who holds all of our lives in his hands. Do you realize if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when the enemy rose up against us, he would have swallowed us up quick. But we serve a God who, hallelujah, all day and all night, he allows angels to watch over us. When we realize that God keeps us in his special keeping. But we got to be real about this. He talks about, Joshua says, in sincerity, be sincere about your worship of the Lord. One of the things, and it's very obvious with some folk. They come to the Lord's house and they're looking at their watch when they come in. You better hurry, Pastor. You only got 40 minutes. You better say all you're going to say. Amen. Don't take any time ad-libbing. You better stick to the script. Huh? But let me tell you something, folk. When we come into the presence of the Lord, we ought to enjoy His presence. For in His presence, there is the fullness of joy. And when I understand that the joy of the Lord is my strength, amen. I want to lift up holy hands. I want to say hallelujah. I want to say thank you, Jesus. I want to say, Lord, you've been good to me. But you see, you can't say that unless you really know Him. Amen. You need to know that through many dangers, toils, and snares that you already come. And you need to know it was by grace. Some folk will get up and say, boy, I was sure lucky. Luck had nothing to do with it. Amen. God is good and God is gracious. God is our divine protection. When I understand that, to God be the glory. Amen. One of the problems that man has is he wants to take away the glory from the Almighty. Don't you know that it's the glory that God says He only should have? Amen. None of us are worthy of glory. But we love to have folk talk about how good we are. And we want to just lap it up like cream. But I want you to know that it's the God in you that makes you somebody. If you are stripped of the presence of God, you might be a ruling monarch, but still you are nothing. But you might be a nothing, but if God is in you, it is impossible to keep you down.
That's right.
I told him in Sunday school, a man's gift, amen, will make room for him. You don't have to worry, amen, about showing folk. Just live right.
That's right.
God can use whomever will allow themselves to be used. And then you notice he says, in verse number 14, he says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Another way of putting that is be not conformed to this world.
That's right.
You see, it's the confirmation to this world we want to go along to get along. Amen. We don't want folk to look at us strange, so we do what everybody else does. It's all right to be different. Huh? It's all right to be different. Because I heard the Lord say, you are a peculiar people.
Yeah.
Amen. If you're doing the same thing everybody else is doing, maybe you're not peculiar because you're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But when you realize your what people call peculiar is just being godly.
Right.
Amen. There are some things you just won't do. And can I tell you something? Boy, I feel like preaching, but I'm not going to move. One of the things that you ought to be able to do, irrespective of where you are, whether you're in Las Vegas or Houston, you ought to stand for what's right and righteousness. It is amazing that when folk are away from home, well, I'm on vacation now. I can just do my own thing now. Amen. Amen. When you're in the Bahamas and you've got your shorts on and your big floppy hat, amen. Can people tell that you're a Christian? And I don't mean you need to be going around just spouting scriptures, but if you're doing everything that the world is doing, they can tell who you really are. Amen. If they ask for Jack Daniels and ginger ale, and you say, give me one too. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you start realizing that it is in Him we live, and in Him we move, and it's in Him we have our being. It's in Him that we have to have our lives planted. Without him, amen, we become vagabonds. There's nothing that will hold us in the time of the storm. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? Just keep on living, because the storms will come. Amen. If you're not in a storm now, you're either coming out of one or you're going into one. Because the reality is storms are what happens in this life. But God has positioned us. Hallelujah. Because he's with us. And if he's with us, we need not fear. But then listen what he says in verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if he's not your choice, choose you this day. And you know, for some people, they really need to make that choice. You really need to determine, do you want to serve the true and the living God, or do you want a hypocrite? How I love the Lord, because he heard my cry and he pitied every groan, but it didn't go deep enough to get to my pocket. There's a problem there. If I love the Lord, I've got to love his people. Amen. By this all men will know you are my disciples. How? By the love that you have one to another. Amen. It is only the love of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, that will allow you to love unlovable people. Do you realize that if you're left to your own devices, there are people you could never love? Amen. But when the Holy Spirit is there, you love them. Amen. You might not like what they're doing. You might not love what they're doing, but you love them. Because you realize that they are created by the same God that created you. And you realize God has commanded us to love. And you know that love is an act of the will. And you have the capacity to do it. Amen. We have emotionalized love and makes it a feeling. Amen. It has nothing to do with feeling. You choose to love. Or you choose not to love. Somebody asked me, how can y'all stay together for 60 years, because we choose to do that. Amen. We made a choice that divorce was not an option. There are those who say, well, the marriage license, attorney Hart, is really a hunting license. If it don't work, I just go get me another one. No, we made up in our mind that divorce is not an option. And so she said, I'm going to stay with that fellow, although he's a booger bear. We got to know. We got to choose. Whom you will serve. You know, it to me, and I'm as serious as I can be, folks. It to me is the height of hypocrisy if you come to the Lord's house and you really don't enjoy being here.
That's right.
There's an issue here.
That's right.
Amen. When you come, you ought to come seeking something.
Right.
You ought to come with an expectation of receiving something. You ought to come knowing that there is something here for you. You ought to come believing that your job is not to sit and determine whether the message is right or not. You're here to hear if God has a message for you. Amen. Amen. And not all of us have the same need to hear the same thing. But all of us have a need to hear from heaven. And I got to tell you, the God that we serve, he is astute enough to make sure that you get what you need. Amen. Amen. On a buffet table, not everybody takes everything. But they take what they like. Well, on this buffet table, God puts on there what you need. And he makes sure it's delivered there. Now, the option to take it or not is yours. You choose to do it. But can I tell you, if we take God's way, and what Joshua is doing is telling the children of Israel, Joshua is now old. Joshua is about to go the way of man. But he wanted to make sure that they were well positioned to remain in the land that the Lord had given to them. But can I tell you something? You can't keep the blessings that God has given you if you don't obey Him.
That's right.
For with the same way He gives it to you, He can take it away from you. But we believe God just has to do it. Can I tell you something? God don't have to do it. Fact of the matter is, God didn't have to wake you up this morning. But God is good. God is not required to keep you going day by day. But He does, because God is good. Amen. If you want to look at a Father, look at the Father that we serve. Amen. Our Heavenly Father. But can't you hear Joshua saying, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I tell you, it's not what we attain is why I serve Him. Amen. I might not have two dimes to rub together, but because God is a good God, I'm going to serve Him. Because God wakes me up in the morning, I'm going to serve Him. But the truth of the matter is, if I never get where I think I ought to be, as long as I know that I'm in the will of God, I know that everything is good. Joshua, the Bible said, Joshua began his journey when the Lord told him, Moses, my servant is dead. Now rise and take these children of Israel over into the promised land. Oh, what a charge that the Lord had given to Joshua.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, God gives a charge to fathers.
Yeah.
He tells you to be a father in the household.
That's right.
Amen. Not just be there, but be a father
yeah.
in the household.
Yeah.
Show the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
And as we told you on from the pastor's page, God says that the father ought to show love. The father ought to command his children. The father ought to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. The father ought to guide and warn them about the things of God. If they're headed the wrong way, he ought to be able to tell them there is a better way. He ought to train them in the things of God. And when it seems like they're bumping their head against what's right and righteousness, he needs to rebuke them. At some point, you need to tell folk when they're not doing right.
That's right.
I wish I had a witness here.
Right.
Amen. You need to restrain some folk.
Yeah.
And you know, when I start thinking about restraining, do you realize that we've got some 12-year-old girls going on 32?
Right.
They need to be restrained.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You're going to be a child only a short time.
Right.
You're going to be an adult if God wills a long time.
That's right.
You ought to enjoy your childhood while you got the opportunity. I wish I had a witness. But the Bible says that Joshua, understanding the awesomeness of the call that God had put on him, amen, no wonder God had to keep telling him, be of good courage. Be not afraid. And you know, it's a fearful thing when you're raising children. It's not easy. You know, we try to make it so easy. No, because children will do just what you think they're not going to do. Amen. They will surprise you when you think you got them pigeonholed. They'll do something crazy and you wonder where that came from. Look, that's why you got to stay prayed up. Amen. You got to stay prayed up. You see, so many young people, they think that having children is simply a biological happenstance. But no, raising children requires something.
That's right.
Amen. You may be able to produce one,
yeah.
but you know, it takes more than production to raise them.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody here. Yeah. But I gotta tell you, young fathers, don't be in such a hurry to be a father.
Right.
Amen. Enjoy your youth as well.
Right.
Because you'll be an old man a long time. But look at Joshua, and I'm almost through. Look at Joshua. The Bible said that God led Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Amen. There were ups and there were downs, but God went before them. In fact, God characterized himself as being a hornet that was able to dislodge those that were holding the land in Canaan. You know, it's so amazing to me how
The Lord has given us blessings, but sometimes somebody else is sitting on our blessing. But God knows how to move them out of the way. Whatever God has for you, you don't get it. Amen. You might not get it today. You might not get it tomorrow. But if you know how to wait on the Lord, all is well. Somebody in this room needs to know how to wait on the Lord. Have I got a witness here? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Sometimes it seems like I'm not going to make it, but wait on the Lord. Amen. God is able to come in at the right time. Have I got a witness here? Well, the Bible tells us that there are times when trouble comes in the land. I don't want to go through the life of Joshua, but I want to point out one thing. The Bible says that God had told him, take a troop and go up to Ai. I want you to be able to conquer Ai. And so Joshua said, I don't need many folk. I'll just take a little troop. But the Bible said when they went up to Ai, they got their heads kicked in. And the Bible said that Joshua was crying out to the Lord, Lord, what happened? And the Bible said the Lord told them there's sin in the camp. He had told them how they ought to act when they went into the city. But the Bible said that there were those that did not follow the instructions. One of the hardest things about being a father is to give your instructions to your children. You see, Brother Morrow used to say, you have to ask them, do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Because they'll play dumb on you. They don't know what you're talking about. But if you ask them, do you understand what I'm saying? Well, you see, most of the time, they understand, but they don't like what you said. But the Bible says they did not honor what Joshua had said. And there were those that took up Babylonia's garments. They took wages of gold and they took silver. And because they failed to honor the Lord, the Bible said that God's blessings were withheld from them. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that in the process of leading your family, it will happen, that things will happen during this period. Things that you did not figure was going to happen. You didn't plan it, but it just happened in your life. But one thing I've learned about God, He's able to take your minus and turn it into a plus. What seemed like was going to take you down, God will use it to pick you up. God will use it to turn you around. God will use it to place your feet on solid ground. And now Joshua is an old man about to go off the scene. And he called the elders of Israel together and tells them, it's time now that you would know what God would have you to know. And he tells them out of the word. He says to them, if you will fear the Lord and then serve him in sincerity and in truth. And that's all the Father says. Children, fear the Lord. Know that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him and then serve him in sincerity and in truth. All Joshua is saying is be real in your service and tell children be real in everything you do. For the God that we serve is a real God and he's looking for real people. It's time to get past the hypocrisy of this world. Know that I am, and I am who I am by the grace of God. What I've learned, I got it from the Lord. What I possess, I got it from the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord, Lord have mercy, I would have nothing. And then he says, do not be conformed to this world. Isn't it a danger to let the world lead you? Lord have mercy. The Lord left us to be light and salt. But the world is driving the conversation. We look around us and we try to get God. just like the world. We want to dress like the world. We want to talk like the world. We want to act like the world. But if we let the Lord come in our lives, everything can be all right. You notice me say it can be all right, because it's a matter of obedience. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. Lord, have mercy. If God be for you, none can be against you. I'm so glad. Look at the life of Joshua. He was able to lead them into the promised land. If you stand as a father, you can lead your children into adulthood. They are determining what they're gonna be in the time of infancy. But if you stand strong, don't give in. Let them know the Lord's way is the only way. I'm closing now. When I understand that God says, I set the standard. And if you will set a standard in your house, hear what Joshua says. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know whether you see it or not. Not we may, but we will serve the Lord. It's not optional. You can do what you want to do, but it's got to be in your house. If you in my house, you're going to serve the Lord. I'm closing up, but God is a good God. How do you know it? Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. How do I know He's good? Because while I was yet a son, Christ died for the ungodly. How do I know God is good? I said I need to look for a healer called Golgotha. I need to look at how Jesus took my sins, went up a hill called Calvary. They nailed His hands and rigged His feet. They stretched Him wide. They dropped Him low. How much did He love me? He loved me enough to give His life. I'm so glad. No man took His life, but He gave His life as a ransom for me. He died. Oh, yes, He died. He put it in a borrowed grave. In the grave, Friday night, always Saturday, Saturday night. But hey, there is some God. You gotta look up, look all around. Like the Father loved Him. Look to Calvary and see His love. He didn't stay dead. You gotta look up. The Bible says that the tabernacle here for 40 days in the disciples, preparing them for when He would go away. Took His band of disciples as far as the Mount of Olives, and the Bible said, oh, hallelujah, a cloud came down, stepped on the cloud, and went on back to glory. But on His way to glory, hallelujah, He stopped and hid at Bible said that He looked back at them that had followed Him from the lake of Gennesaret. Their hearts are heavy, they're shedding tears. He stopped in midair, called an angel down, said, go tell them this same Jesus you see going away, but He's coming back. And now this is to you, the same Jesus. He died on the cross. He's coming back as the church without a spot of blemish. My question to you is, do you know Him? Have you tried Him? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you know Him, you'll go back with Him. But I gotta tell you this, thank you, Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to know that all of us are going to heaven, but some of us will stay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody get that.
word he just preached, and you sat there and wouldn't come to the Lord. You heard them to preach, and you wouldn't come to the Lord. You heard the gospel preach, and you didn't come to the Lord. What makes man go to hell? Have I got a witness here? God doesn't send them to hell. They send themselves. They go in spite of what God has done. He prepared a place for you. But if you ever go his way, hallelujah. His way is the only way. Hallelujah. A godly man and a godly farm. Amen. The Lord is looking for both. A godly man and a godly farm. It is not enough to call upon him, amen, as a godly man. If he has given you children, he expects you to be a godly father.
That's right.
Amen. Not after the vein of David.
That's right.
Amen. Discipline your children when they need it. Rebuke them when they're going the wrong way.
That's right.
Amen. Train them in the ways of God. Amen. It's easy biologically to say, I'm a man. I'm a father. No, I'm talking spiritually. Be a father. Show in your life what you expect from them. Amen. Isn't it amazing? We tell them to do it. We're not doing it. Tell them to live right, act right, do right. They can hear us. They know whether we live right or not.
That's right.
I say this and I'm done. Children are not nearly as dumb as we think they are.
That's right.
I realize that children think we're dumb, but we're not as dumb as they think we are.
That's right.
Amen. Children can hear. Little ears have big ears.
That's right.
Amen. They can hear what you're saying.
That's right.
And they act upon what they hear from you. I said this and I'm done. Just have a pastor that said he could tell how the family felt about him by the way the children reacted to him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Watch the children. The children are outgoing and gracious. Gracious family. The children are reserved and watching you funny. They heard something about you. We shall extend their privilege to the church. Today is the day of salvation, not in the sepulchre time. Come. The Bible says, come without money, come without price.